We're here this morning, aren't we, to worship God, but also to have a moment or two of remembering. And before we start, I just want to just say one notice for those of you that are members. We have our church meeting on Wednesday, 7:30. Okay, just a reminder for you for our church members meeting on Wednesday. The verse on the screen there comes from a passage from Psalms, and I'm just going to read the bit before and the bit after. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And as we begin our time this morning, we're going to share a prayer together, and I'll read the normal face, and if you guys want to all join together in the last line, the bold type, and then we will sing our opening song together. Gracious God, we heard you even in the sea of disorder and the darkness of the void, crying, "Light and life become, and all creation was begun." We gather to praise. Redeeming God, we heard you even in the sins of destruction and the nighttime of sadness, crying, "Enough, here is my son, love and hope for the future." We gather to praise. Inspiring God, we heard you even in the silence of sorrow and the anguish of pain, crying, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" We gather to praise. Let's stand and sing our first song together this morning. Who can sound the depths of sorrow in the Father's heart of God? Thank you, Brian. Please take your seats. The poppy. I am not a badge of honour. I am not a racist smear. I am not a fashion statement to be worn but once a year. I am not glorification of conflict or of war. I am not a paper ornament, a token. I am more. I am a loving memory of a father or a son, a permanent reminder of each and every one. I'm paper or enamel. I'm old or shining new. I'm a way of saying thank you to every one of you. I am a simple poppy, a reminder to you all that courage, faith, and honour will stand where heroes fall. I don't know what you think when you look at a poppy, but I was on the website early this week looking for poppies, and they come in all sorts of different shapes, sizes and guises now, don't they? We have the traditional paper one, but we can get enamel ones. We can get silk ones. We can get really fancy jewellery ones. But as I looked on the website, we can get things to wear as well. Scarves, bow ties and gloves. They also do umbrellas and mugs and even bags. The poppy appearing everywhere, the symbol of remembrance. Do you know what year the poppy became our symbol of remembrance? Any guesses? Well, it was after 1918, so that's a good start. Any ideas? 22, you're close, Michael. It was 1921 was when the first paper poppies came into circulation. Have a guess at how many are sold each year in the UK. Have you got any idea? Are you going to be anywhere close? I was astounded at this figure. Over 45 million poppies every year in the UK. But of course, it hasn't always looked like this, has it? This green leaf appeared quite a bit later in the evolution of the poppy. Anyone know any idea when the green leaf came into circulation? It was 1995. And finally, I think most of you will get this one. The famous poem that helped to inspire the use of the poppy. It is, of course, In Flanders Fields by John McCrae. And I'm going to read that in a minute. But I wanted to show you a picture of Flanders Fields. First World War. Smoke. Mud. No leaves on trees. Desolation. Compare that with this picture. It hasn't changed much, has it? Other than the fact of now, people can do that from hundreds and thousands of miles away. But still, the same scene of devastation. That's what Flanders Fields looks like today. It's got a lot of these in it. And even though tens of thousands lost their lives at Flanders Fields, and today there's almost 12,000 soldiers buried there, we still see poppies. And the poem goes like this. In Flanders Fields the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. But there's not just red poppies, is there? People wear different coloured poppies. Sometimes you'll see a white poppy being worn alongside the red, commemorating not only those who died in conflict, but trying to focus on achieving peace and challenging the way we look at war. Some people might wear a black poppy, commemorating the contributions of black, African and Caribbean communities to the war effort. Some will wear a purple poppy to remember animals that have been victims of war. But for us, our poppy, the red one that we wear, representing the blood of those who gave their lives. The black button in the middle for the mourning of those that never welcome their loved ones back home. And more recently, the green leaf, showing the hope that the grass and crops growing after the war brings. And even though today it's a day of remembering, for many, it's a day of sadness. But it's also a day of hope. We're going to sing again now. Thank you, Brian. Please take your seats. We're going to take a couple of moments now just to prepare our hearts to remember the impact of conflict in our world. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to put some slides up. And I'm just going to pray through each of these slides. And maybe you want to just pray in your hearts also as we go through. Loving Heavenly Father, we bring before you this morning all those who have lost loved ones through conflict. We remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. We pray for those who cannot forget what they've seen, who are haunted by images of war, death, and destruction. Take away the pain and distress and heal their minds, not that they may ever forget, but so they can at least forgive and receive restoration from torment. Lord, we remember those who have been impacted by war today. For the many people who live with the physical scars and have to come to terms with a life that will never be the same. Thank you for the work of charities like the Royal British Legion that helps so many veterans and their families come to terms with life after war and conflict. We particularly continue to remember Ukraine, all those that are still in the country and fearful every time the sirens sound, those that have lost their homes, and those that have fled the country and are trying to settle in a foreign land. Give us a welcoming spirit to all who seek refuge from conflict. We pray for our armed forces, Army, Navy and Air Force, for all those who put their lives on the line daily for our freedom and the freedom of others. We especially remember all those who are deployed and on active service around the world. We would also bring our government before you, Jesus. Help them to make wise decisions, especially when confronted by conflict and war. Lord Jesus, be with those who are in mourning, especially today as the country comes together to remember. So many are still losing their lives through conflict, both here in the UK through acts of violence and abroad in countries where guns and missiles are being used. God, we would ask that you bring an end to division and hatred. We know that in some places and lives this will take a miracle, but we know you can intervene and turn lives around. Make us a unifying and loving people. Merciful God, we would ask for peace. Peace in our nation. Peace in war-torn countries. Peace in our hearts.
Abide with me, first rose the evening.
I invite you all to stand. I'm going to read these words, and if we can just repeat the last line, and then we're going to just have a couple of minutes. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Thank you. You may be seated. We come to our reading this morning. I've chosen a passage from right at the beginning of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and the first 9 verses. And they say this. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, The Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River, into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And before I just share a couple of thoughts from that passage, we're going to remain seated and we're just going to sing, Be Still and Know That I Am God. Brian. I wonder how you took the news when you heard that Her Majesty the Queen had died. Shocked, maybe, or in disbelief. Maybe you felt a great sense of sadness or even grief. You may have found yourself even crying. Losing someone is painful. The closer you are, the more painful it can feel. That sense of loss can be overwhelming. And I wonder if that's how Joshua felt when he heard the news that Moses was dead. The realization that he had to somehow step into the shoes of the man who had led the Israelites out of Egypt and around the desert for the last 40 years, who communed with God and performed miraculous signs in front of all the people. Not an easy act to follow. But it's here in our story that the Lord Yahweh speaks to Joshua. And I want this morning to just to pull out three quick things from what he said. Firstly, he reminded Joshua of the past. Verse 3 reads, I promise you what I promised Moses. In other words, look, Joshua, remember the promises I gave Moses? We see here God renewing the covenant he first gave to Abraham and then passed eventually to Moses on Mount Sinai. Look, Joshua, I'm going to make the Israelites into a great nation and give them the land I promised them. I promised it to Abraham. I promised it to Isaac. I promised it to Jacob. I promised it to so many others. And now, Moses, I promise it to you. And I now make the same promise. And you, Joshua, are going to step into the land of promise. You've wandered around the wilderness for long enough. It's time to claim the land I am giving you. This morning, today, it's all about remembering the past. And for some, I'm sure that's been quite difficult. But sometimes it's good and proper to remind ourselves of what has gone before. And like Joshua, God will want to remind you of his promises for you. Some may be really personal. Things you know God has promised that you're still holding on to. For all of us, though, his promise of salvation and eternal life in Jesus is fundamental to everything we do. Coming back regularly to the cross and reminding ourselves what Jesus accomplished there always puts life back into perspective. For some, you may have been wandering around the wilderness for a long time, wondering which way to turn, always seeming to be going around in circles. But this morning, you too can hold on to the promises made to Joshua, even right through to the end of verse 5, where it says, God saying, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Again, Joshua being reminded of how God was with Moses. And of course, this promise goes right back to Moses' calling at the burning bush. Three times during that encounter, God assured Moses he would be with him. Joshua would have seen for himself, as he worked alongside Moses as his assistant, that God was indeed with him, and he wasn't failed or abandoned. And what a wonderful thing for Yahweh to remind Joshua of. A promise of continual support, and that he would never, ever be alone. And we too are never alone. God is always with us. But we cannot live in the past. And this moves me to my second point. Having been reminded of the past, Joshua was living in the present. Pretty obvious, really. We all can only live in the present. There were things Joshua needed to do. He was told to be strong and courageous. In fact, three times in these few verses, we are told that God told Joshua to be strong and very courageous. God was impressing on Joshua what he needed to do to succeed. Strength and courage. He would need to go in God's strength in order to seize or to conquer the land ahead. You know, we also need to operate in the Holy Spirit's strength. How many times have you or I tried on our own, only to see the thing fail? And of course, we're not just talking physical strength here. So if you need some encouragement this morning, then maybe grasp and hold on to one of the verses that I'm going to show on the screen. And I encourage us to let's read them through together. The first one. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Another one from Isaiah. How about this? Let's read it together. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Aren't these some fantastic verses? Let's look at Psalms. What did the psalmist say? Let's read it. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Well, how about this? My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. And just in case you didn't think there were any of these wonderful verses in the New Testament, how about this from 2 Thessalonians? But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And finally, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in the mighty power. Some fantastic words, aren't they? That we can hold on to. But what else was Joshua told he needed to do to ensure he prospered and succeeded? Follow Moses' instructions and study the book of instruction. Meditate on it and obey what it said. No deviations. And this book was probably Deuteronomy as we know it today, the book of law and God's moral and spiritual instructions to the people of Israel. And I wonder how much richer, spiritually, do you think we would be if we took our book of instruction, the Bible, meditated on it continually, obeying what it said, and importantly, we didn't deviate from it at all. You see, we need to live in the present, and that's live with a capital L. Many people are just trying to survive in the present, existing, but not really living. Yes, we're all alive physically, but the worry and pressure of everyday existence weighs us down, dampens our spirit. Now, we all get like that from time to time, and I'm not saying for any second that we should be super spiritual or adopt a monastic way of life. And I've been there all last week. Pressures of getting an essay in on Friday and a tutorial to discuss it. Prepping for today. Hosting some ministerial students and a tutor here in the building tomorrow. Taking morning prayers at college on Tuesday. And completing all the required class material before I get there. And then having to think about a church meeting here on Wednesday. Woe is me, right? But wait a minute. Whatever happened to, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Or me taking any one of those other verses that we've read, for earlier for that matter. And you know, it's not easy sometimes, but God does have our back. And so do those people who are around us, that we trust and confide in, for that matter. We all struggle at times, but there is a solution. Hold on to God's word. Grasp one of those verses we read earlier. God gives strength and courage to us to make it through, no matter how tough the circumstance. And the final thing I want to pull out from the passage that we read this morning is this. There is hope for the future. How does the final verse read that we looked at? This is my command, said God to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Did you get it? Did you get it? God is with you wherever you go. And we've touched on it already. He's the God of your past, present, and future. God is telling Joshua here that it doesn't matter where you end up. Tomorrow or the day after, or the day after that, he will be there. The realization of that this morning, folks, should actually want to make you raise a hallelujah or two. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter where you end up tomorrow, or the day after, or the day after that. God will be with you. Why? Because on those days when things are tough, when you're feeling you cannot go on, or when the pressure is getting to you, Jesus will still be there. The message was the same hundreds of years later. Jesus telling the disciples in the very last sentence of Matthew's gospel, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." For Joshua, the proof of this came 3 days later, after our story this morning. He's standing on the shore of River Jordan with all the people of Israel. The Levites are holding the Ark of the Covenant, waiting for Joshua to give the command to cross. We see him taking hold of the promises God made to him 3 days earlier. Will God be faithful? Because Joshua needs a miracle.
never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see if you're working. Even when I can't feel if you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when you can't feel it. I'm trying to stop. You never stop, you never stop.
Joshua and all the people see Yahweh, God, the miracle worker in action. God indeed keeps his promises. That same Yahweh of the Old Testament is the same miracle working God of the New Testament and the same miracle working God of today. Let's remember this morning, as we've looked back at the past, we have a living hope in Jesus, not only for our present, but for whatever the future may hold. Amen. We're going to finish our time this morning by singing our last song. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Thank you, Brian. O God, our refuge and strength, Lord of life and vanquisher of death, grant to us the help of your Holy Spirit, that remembering with thanksgiving the great things which have been done for us, we may praise you for your goodness and dedicate our lives to your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.